This is Meet the Movie Press. It's December the 7th, 2018. Coming up on the show, Golden Globes nominations, Chris McQuarrie considers Star Trek those Marvel trailers, and Kevin Hart is hosting the Oscars.
What?
Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Meet the Movie Press.
This is Meet the Movie Press. It's December the 7th, 2018. My name is Simon Thompson. You can find me on social media at ShowbizSimon on Instagram and Twitter. And on Facebook, this is Simon Thompson. Well, it's been a very quiet week for movie news, hasn't it? Nothing has happened. We have a lot to get through. Let me introduce everybody first of all. Dimitri, hello, how are you?
Hey, movie fans. Hello, panel.
Who are you? Where can we find you? Keep it quick.
At DMovies 1701. Also, find me on Popcorn Talk Network's Anatomy of a Movie, where today I'll be talking, along with my hosts and panelists, The Green Book.
Fantastic. Scott Menzel.
Very nice.
Welcome to find you.
Hi, everyone. Scott Menzel. Find me on Twitter, Instagram, at TheOtherScottM. We'll save the rest of the spiel for later.
Okay. And welcome back, Neil.
Thanks, guys.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Pearl Harbor Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but happy Hanukkah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Good to have you back. Where
nice
can people find you if they don't know who you are?
At Neil Turitz, NEILTURITZ on Twitter, at 6WordReviews on Instagram, number 6WordReviews.
Good to have you back in LA.
Great to be back.
Visiting from New York.
Yep, here
doing
for
doing a movie business.
Movie business,
but we can't talk
such.
About that. It's very exciting, but we can't talk about
it. Yeah, there's a lot happening.
You have to throw that sneak attack in.
Okay. Very in demand.
Talking about a lot happening this
as
week.
As evidenced by.
Okay, so Kevin Hart. He's hosting the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
He's not now hosting the Oscars.
Is he? I don't think he is.
So, I mean, that was quick.
That was extremely quick.
That escalated quickly.
Was he even the host for 24 hours?
No.
Obviously, you know, what if you don't know the story, and I'm amazed if anybody doesn't, even in this short sort of, you know, news span. Kevin Hart was announced as being the host of this year's Oscars here in Los Angeles early next year. It very quickly became apparent that he'd made some anti-gay comments on Twitter a number of years ago. Those became public again. Those reared their heads. And as a result, he was asked basically by the Academy to make a decision, apologize for those comments or no longer host the Oscars. And Kevin Hart is now no longer hosting the Oscars. We'll spend a bit of time on this, but not too long. First of all, Neil, let's get your thoughts on this. First of all, from a position of Kevin and an apology, and whether the Academy made the right decision by asking him to stand down.
Well, from his perspective, he, you know, his whole thing was, I've covered this before. I don't want to cover it anymore. I feel like I've talked about it and I don't need to talk about it anymore, which is the wrong way to go about it. If you do something like this, you have to mea culpa, especially now.
Yeah.
Mea culpa over and over and over again until people forgive. And the thing is, Billy, I don't know if you saw what Billy Eichner tweeted.
I did, yeah.
You know, he said, this is unacceptable. You know, as long as, you know, you can't just, a real genuine apology would have gone a long way. I think that what's lost here, and I have, it just occurred to me as you were talking about it, you see this more and more from African-American men of a certain age who came up and, you know, throwing the F word around and calling people gay was just part of what they did. Eddie Murphy did it. You said it in Breakfast, mm-hmm. Delirious. You know, and then again in Raw.
Yep.
And, you know, I think that that's just something that they grew up with. Mm. And so it's a hard shift to make. That doesn't make it okay.
Yeah.
But it's definitely there.
I mean, one argument I heard this morning on the radio was the fact that Kevin Hart is a comedian. And comedians can say things that are outrageous within their comedy routines on all sides of the political spectrum and social spectrum. And I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. But these comments were not made within a comedy routine. I mean, we all remember, as you say, Delirious, Eddie Murphy throwing around anti-gay comments, which, okay, are still anti-gay comments at the end of the day. But they're in the context of a situation, of a joke, of a narrative. Now, these weren't that. So I think they have to be handled differently. I think it's great that Kevin has offered an apology of sorts. However, the apology has to be genuine and it has to be to come from a change of heart and a change of mind and not because people got upset and it might hurt your dollars at the box office. I think really if he is going to apologize and if he means it, there has to be some sort of reconciliation, some sort of outreach. Mm. But for it to be genuine and not be... There's a big difference for being sorry for something that you say, and there's a difference between where you're sorry for being caught saying something that you said. And I think we have to be very careful with the context of that.
Very quickly also, yeah. There's also the proper apology of, I'm genuinely sorry for what I said and how I said it, and sure. for hurting other people, and that was never my intention because of this. And then there's the apology, I apologize if anyone was offended. Mm. Fuck you. If you clearly people yeah. are offended. How about owning your shit? I mean, the idea of saying, I'm sorry if people were offended. Well, I'm sorry people were offended too, but what does that have to do with anything? I mean, own what you've said and own what you've done.
Well, I have LGBTQ plus.
It's always
well,
my
no,
fault.
I mean, I have members of my family that are part of the LGBTQ plus community. I have friends, I have colleagues, I have associates. And I'll be honest with you, if you're gay or you're racist, Hollywood probably isn't the place for you.
Mm, no.
Because you kind of—it's like being anti-Semite and then working in Hollywood. I'm like
Dimitri.
I'm just thinking. You might be maybe in the not the right job. Maybe I'm just saying not the right environment, Dimitri.
Well, there's so much going on. I think to unpack, so to speak. Hmm. Number one, they're a little bit late in the game picking a host at this point. I mean, mm-hmm. I know that they're scrambling.
Yep.
But it's a lose-lose situation. Okay. People are offended now. Why weren't they offended? How many years ago was it? I mean, this is what I don't understand. How many?
And
I'm not defending. I am not defending this. But we had a similar situation happen with the director of Guardians of the Galaxy.
James Gunn.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He said something years and years and years ago, right? He lost a job. And he too lost a job for something that was done a decade ago, which his whole... Zeitgeist, he's changed. He apologized. I mean, I am not defending the comments. I'm not defending the words. But yeah. Like, now isn't the time to be offended by this. I mean, he was chosen. You can't go back. Like, to my knowledge, from how I've seen Kevin Hart, whether I like or dislike his comedy, right? I haven't seen him treat people badly. I know he's had some personal issues family-wise, but he hasn't exhibited cruel behavior to people that I've noticed, and this is going back 8 years. To your point about the apology, yes, he could have made a sincere apology. He could have said, hey, you know what, that was 8 years ago, it's a different time, a different me. I never meant to harm anybody then. I don't mean to harm anybody now. I truly do apologize. And maybe he could have still kept his job. He chose to step down. I read what he wrote today. But again, you're going back so many times. 8 years ago, and when his movie started coming out, nobody was crying foul.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know.
I would like to add just briefly that I agree with Neil's point about the approach to the apology and the lack thereof.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But here's my issue. And again, like Dimitri, I am not standing up for Kevin Hart in this situation. Mm-hmm. If we were to look at any of us at this table or any of us in Hollywood,
yeah,
I'm sure that there's dirt on someone that we can dig up
100%
for every single person at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Whether
I used to molest badgers, for instance.
Oh, Neil.
You know, I figured it out myself.
Yeah. It was that honey badger thing, huh? Yeah, that really set you off.
Honey badger really
Scott,
don't give a shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Scott, back to your point.
But what I was saying about that is just that there's so much dirt on everyone in Hollywood that if someone decided to dig a little deeper, they can find something on the biggest A-lister, mm-hmm. I'm sure. And I think it's very strange because we're living in a time right now where I feel like no one's being safe. No one's safe anymore. And it's just everyone is so quick to judge nowadays. We just like, oh my God, this happened 10 years ago. Fire them, get rid of them. Like the thing with James Gunn, like you brought up, the thing with Kevin Hart. We're setting this. I don't know, this example right now of that anyone who has had a past has to now work extremely hard to delete it, you know, or try to cover it up because essentially we're in attack mode and everyone is just continuously being attacked.
In hypersensitive mode.
Yeah, and hypersensitive too. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, go on.
Just one quick thing to add, and that is what's interesting is – that the Academy could have done a better job vetting.
Oh,
and I think
of course.
That this is something that doesn't come up quite as often when something like when a performer or an artist of some kind takes a job, has to leave the job because of something they've said or done. Mm. Let's go back to the people who are vetting and kind of getting out ahead of this so that this thing doesn't happen at all.
I get it, but nobody's looking back a decade.
But they should.
But
why? Here's why. Because I'm not defending the fact that people are hypersensitive. I constantly complain about people being hypersensitive. I'm saying that you need to be able to anticipate the issue.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Fair.
We're going to move on from this in just a second because I don't want this to become the whole show and we have a lot of stuff to cover this week.
Damn right.
But I think it's something we have to discuss.
But did something else happen?
I think the comment was made that it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And why wasn't it at the time? Well, at the time, Kevin Hart wasn't as big as he is now. And at the time, Kevin Hart's generally, his audience was slightly different. And I think he wasn't seen as the family entertainer that he is now. Mm. I think the context of Kevin Hart has shifted. And I think then when you take something that was from a past time and you put it into a current placement, it is going to jar. It is going to offend. But at the end of the day, the language that he used could be construed as offensive. I think the difference with James Gunn is the fact that the comments that Kevin Hart were made can be construed as homophobic, whereas the things that James Gunn said were things that were off colour, off the wall, but not actually things that he felt or did. It was more like an exposition.
Context is everything.
Is everything. But I've worked with Kevin Hart. I've seen him interact with members of the LGBTQ community. He treats people with respect. I think, like you say, I think if you go back through anybody's, you know, if you look far enough into anybody's history, you can find things that are inappropriate. I have used language like that myself over my years and in certain situations. I am certainly now not proud of it. At the time, I thought it was entirely acceptable.
Absolutely.
What I hope we can do is I think he's done the right thing to step down because I think if he didn't, it would overshadow the Oscars. And I think the Oscars are very much about the art and the artists. And I think that's really important. We've had several issues over the last couple of years, important issues, but that has overtaken the art. So I think he's made the right thing. I hope Kevin Hart can look at what he said, look at his actions and look at the reaction to an action. And perhaps, I'm not saying it will change his mind or change his opinion if they haven't changed, but I think it'll make him maybe look at it in a new light and see that when you say something or you type something, it's, you know, people will see it and some people will get upset by it.
One little minor thing is that people tend to forget that social media is public.
It is.
And it's like I see this even in the journalist world where people tweet and they say some really angry things towards studios and PR people and
talent.
Don't know
who you're talking about.
And and it's just amazing because then they're like, oh, I wonder why I got passed for this. I wonder why this didn't happen. It's like everyone sees it. Yeah. Even if you block someone, it still shows up. So there you go.
It's
still there. Someone screenshotted it somewhere.
We're going to move on to the Golden Globes nominations in just a second, but some really interesting chat coming up in a lot of chat, actually, on this today. Scott Boswell, a backlash is going to come when people are going to stop apologizing, and then what comes next? Glamoury, they're martyrs in our evolution. That's how it's always been. It's a necessary evil, I think, yes. Zias Bilou, the propaganda SJW LGBT community are after any and everyone, and it's crazy. I don't think that's entirely true. I think where you see an injustice, you have to stand up against it. I don't think that makes a social justice warrior. I think that makes you standing up for decency.
Sure.
I don't think it's about social justice. I think you know certain things are wrong. I know that stabbing someone is wrong. So I don't stab somebody.
Again, context is everything.
Is everything. I really don't think we can label this as a social justice warrior. I'm sure if you had someone in your family, let's say who was slow, and someone referred to them by the R word, you might find it absolutely fine to use that word to somebody else or in a jokey context when it's used against you. You feel very differently. So I don't think it's fair entirely to label it SJW. Straight Edge Vegan Bell, I hope they pick someone not into political jokes. I honestly think they should have kept Kevin. Good luck finding someone who never said anything someone else didn't like. No, I think absolutely you will never, you can't please everybody all the time. I think the Oscars, there are going to be political jokes. Someone I suggest that they take, I would say Tiffany Haddish. I think Tiffany Haddish would do a really good job.
That's one of the front runners.
I think she would be a really good example.
She could. I just say, you know, you get somebody like Jimmy Kimmel back, but he probably doesn't want the job. Look, the bottom line is this. It's a lose-lose situation.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to take this job, people are going to criticize you, whatever.
What?
You are going to be blamed for so much. If the ratings go down, it's because of the host.
And, can't be worse than when James Franco hosted.
At the end of the day, the awards show ratings are going down. I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Nope.
There are people who won't watch the awards ceremonies because they think it's West Coast elitist stuff or they're just not interested. So I don't think whoever hosts, I don't think is going to affect the figures that much. Fundamentally, real people don't watch the awards. They find the clips the next day and they're interested in some of the films they haven't even seen because they can't access them.
Yes, right.
So
absolutely.
I think at the end of the day, the whole thing about, oh, will it draw the crowds? I think it's kind of, it's a moot point and slightly irrelevant. Let's move on though.
One last thing. Okay. With that in mind, and as a public service, I am volunteering to host the 2019 Oscars.
I would love to see Ellen DeGeneres do it as well.
Not because she's a woman, not because she's gay.
I think... I mean,
Meet the Movie Press.
Meet the Movie Press. Do it.
I'm not saying you shouldn't do it.
I'm leaving.
I'm saying that I should do it.
I don't feel welcome here.
I'm the same size as Kevin. Okay, so Golden Globe nominations, reactions this week.
Garden Grove?
Golden Globes nominations. Let's talk about this. We need to keep this again quite tight, guys.
Sure.
We have a lot to get through on the show today. Golden Globes nominations. What were you really surprised about? Were you surprised by any of the nominations? A couple of things a lot of people didn't see nominated in the film category they expected to. Your thoughts on this?
Oh, I was shocked by the Mary Poppins love.
Me too.
I was very shocked
Me
by
too.
That.
Do not understand.
I do not understand. And there's quite a few films that I feel like have gotten very little love this year, one being The Hate U Give, the other... Ben is back for Julia Roberts. I thought she gave a phenomenal...
She's terrific in it, yeah.
Mm. A phenomenal performance, completely overlooked. But the rest of them were pretty predictable. I would say for the most part, they were pretty predictable.
There's a couple that I haven't seen.
Okay.
So, full transparency. Again,
you haven't seen Full Transparency. Oh my god, it's
amazing. That's my favorite movie.
It's a Netflix movie. I love it.
It's very funny.
Sorry, Dimitri.
Because I was just going to get on my soapbox. My biggest problem.
I've seen the soapbox. It's amazing. 5 stars. Sorry, carry on.
Not Soap Dish. It's the sequel.
I love that movie. Anyway,
if you stared in the soapbox, you'd be taller. No.
You'd be taller. I saw that movie. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Wow.
Hey, I'm
there we are, talking about hate speech.
There we go.
Come on, Dimitri.
Meet the Movie Press staff fire.
I don't get paid for this gig.
Oh, we pay for this gig. Okay,
oh,
Dimitri, your point, please.
My point is I'm tired of seeing Roma being nominated for theatrical stuff, okay? We all know, I'm just going to say it again, it's a Netflix movie. And until Netflix wants to play by the theatrical distribution like rules that are put in place, like Amazon and even Apple is going to be doing, we as reviewers, I myself as a movie reviewer, I have a responsibility to protect the movie-going experience. Mm. Netflix wants to dismantle that. I mean, Ted Sarandos just had a volley of firings, like he was lobbing bombs against exhibitors this past week, saying how they're ruining the experience. And I'm like, no, sir, you are. I kept on thinking of a lot, too, Simon. Like, I do pay attention to things you say about how sometimes...
I pay attention to things Simon says?
He does, because Simon says so.
Touch your nose.
So, anyways... No, because Simon's point is, to some of these platform releases, is that they don't get to certain parts of the country where they're accessible. Mm-hmm. Well, with a Netflix movie, it's even less accessible because so many exhibitors won't play it.
And also with something like Roma, I'll be honest with you, I don't think Brian in Idaho is waiting with bated breath for Roma.
But somewhere in Idaho, Brian's looking around going,
What the fuck? That's Brian!
He's saying, what is Roma?
but Sarah in Idaho may.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. I mean, like, I watched Green Book this week, and I was saying to myself, God, I'm so glad this isn't a Netflix movie, that people are being able to enjoy this really feel-good movie, and it's expanding because of its popularity. And if Roma were given a release and people were liking it, it would have that expansion too and allow people to see it at a theater. I'll see it when it's on Netflix. But do not nominate this for theatrical and put it in theatrical release. nominated for an Emmy or a Cable Ace Award. Do they even still have Cable Ace Award?
I don't know.
What about a home video VHS Blockbuster Award?
Yeah, a Blockbuster Award.
I miss Blockbuster. I miss Blockbuster.
Just let's not condone this because it'll just chip away. Once Netflix and Ted Sarandos is going, oh, see, I'm legitimized. Mm. And I'm going to keep on doing this and chip away at the theatrical release, and then eventually it'll be the movie going experience.
But also, you say, I mean, this is a story we probably won't get to later, but I just want to give it a mention here because it's in context. Christmas Chronicles, watched by 20 million people, which Netflix incorrectly compares
to a 200 million
opening weekend.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's baloney.
It's baloney.
And it's the first time...
They've dropped a number like that.
Yeah, it's the first time they've ever dropped a number.
What happened to the number with Bright?
No, it's the second time. They did it with Bright.
Oh, they did it with Bright?
What was the...
Forgive me.
What was 11 million people, so it was a $70 million opening. Is what
and also the figure, 100% of the people didn't like it.
Yes. Yeah.
Including Will Smith.
I have one counter to that, which is, while I agree with the broad strokes of what you're saying,
yeah,
and I know that we're talking about Golden Globes, but I just want to address the one thing, which is... The fact that they put Roma in theaters, even limited release, to get the qualification is legitimate because independent film, it goes for independent film. If you remember last year, Steven Spielberg had this whole rant about this, and I wrote a column when my tracking board was still a news operation, and I still had my thrice weekly column. I wrote about the fact that you can't isolate. If it hits a theatrical release, you have to give it credit for
it. Just because... No. But it's got to be... Just... Studios will purposely... Again, you're not understanding...
Let's keep this tight because I want to keep it to nominations.
I'm sorry, but...
That's fine.
Dimitri's very passionate about
distribution. I know how this works. You put a movie out on a platform release... Mm. With the expectation that it'll broaden and go wider, you put it out in December for that small window.
I understand. Right. And so we're in agreement about that.
Right. So just because you have it, it need be disqualified because he's breaking the rule. He's not keeping that film out within, let's just say, it's an arbitrary 90 days, but that's the video window. He wants to... His first thing was, I'm going day and date. And then he pushed it, I'll do it 3 weeks.
Again,
he's making his own rules.
Again, okay. I'm not arguing that part. Yeah.
So, guys, I just want to get... Sorry, I just want to keep it to Golden Globe nominations.
Sure.
We have so much to get through on the show this week. We just don't have enough time to go into that this week. We can revisit that again. Scott, let's talk about Golden Globe nominations. You were saying it wasn't really entirely surprising.
No, I didn't think any of it was all that surprising. I mean, the only thing for me was Mary Poppins, because I feel like that kind of came out at the last minute, and I feel the reaction seems more mixed than anything for that movie, and I'm kind of surprised.
I mean,
Rob Marshall movie?
Yeah.
Mixed reaction?
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Me too.
Interesting point in the chat.
Baffling.
And can I just say on the chat... This show is very much about inclusivity, and we occasionally do get some people in the chat who are looking to stir stuff up and make outrageous comments.
Rabble rouse.
This is not that's not the forum for that, and we don't appreciate that. So please be considerate when you're taking part in the chat. It's a very important part of the show, but really, you just need to be respectful. You can disagree, but no need to, please keep it respectful.
Yeah, and if you don't, fuck off.
Well, there is that. That was going to be PS. With the Mary Poppins. I was not a massive fan of that movie. However, there's a lot of creativity in that film that I think is best served for recognition and award stuff when it comes to visual costuming, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Song, absolutely. I was very surprised to see it being quite so present in the Golden Globes. Also, someone in the chat was saying they're quite surprised and getting slightly annoyed by the comparisons with the original movie, because obviously they are different films. They are different films.
Sure.
However, once you've seen Mary Poppins, as we have, there are so many things that are basically cut and paste and changed, juxtaposed, where Chimney Sweep becomes a street lighter. There's so much, even though this is a new movie, that is almost like a reskin of the original film.
You can't escape it.
You cannot escape it. So I can understand the annoyance, but it is something that is entirely acceptable, and I do think justified. Neil?
I think part of the problem here with the mainstream entertainment press, and even with us sitting here at this table, is that we continue to legitimize a completely nonsensical award show. It is a completely nonsensical award show. And the thing is, I've said it in print, I've said it here, I've said it on my own podcast, that I've said over and over again, the Golden Globes is completely ridiculous. It is the populist opinion of a bunch of foreign quote unquote journalists who throw a bunch of stuff up on the wall because they want to throw a big party. It is an illegitimate, ridiculous enterprise that I will continue to say and belt out to the back row until I get nominated for one.
I was going to say, absolutely. When I get nominated, it's the best award, the most important one.
At which point I will become a complete raging hypocrite.
I would love to have you on the show.
And I will come back on the show and say, let me tell you how excited I am to be nominated for Golden Globe. But seriously, you say, I don't understand how Mary Poppins gets all this love. Because they want Emily Blunt to show up at the award
show.
Right,
I don't disagree. Again, working in distribution and booking and working in print control for a bit.
And John Krasinski.
Booking prints. They're extortionists. Yeah. They will, like, if they don't get the print when they want the print, they will not give you love. Now, I just want to talk about
Lin-Manuel.
You know,
following right now.
They want Emily and Lin-Manuel to show up at the party.
And the thing is, though, too, other nominations, like what you said, not surprising, but I was happy to see. So I was happy to see Black Klansman.
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
I'm happy to see movies like even a Black Panther. Why? Because they're popular commercial films, which usually don't get love in the Academy Awards, which I think we're going to see a shift this year.
So I'm glad
to see that commercial films that they can be quality too.
But I think you can't please everyone. I mean, because there's a section of the audience that is like, it's populist. Then you have a section of the audience going, it's elitist. There's always going to be a section of the audience that's like, this doesn't represent me. So I just think I have no problem with the Golden Globes being the populist foreign press kind of award series. You know, the somewhere between an MTV Movie Awards and the Oscars. If that means that people might explore cinema and find it a bit more accessible. So I think absolutely it's a valid award in the fact that I think it is an art for the people. That I think is accessible to the people. And I'm just sometimes surprised. Very pleased to see a number of the nominees, especially a lot of the high-rating ones.
Me too.
The one thing that I wanted to say was I predicted the Constance Wu nomination before the movie even released.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting.
Constance, sorry. Jesus, man. Racist.
No, is Jesus Man Marvel or DC?
I was so happy that got a nomination.
Why do you constantly get her name wrong?
Okay, AFI honors this week as well. Black Panther, Mary Poppins Returns, A Quiet Place, and more. Best movies of 2018. Very surprised to see Mary Poppins Returns on that list. An interesting list, you should check that out. Also, I don't know who this is. The Los Angeles Online Film Critics Society nominations. If only there was an acronym that was snappy for that group. I don't know. Their nominations were announced this week. Black Panther, Star is Born and Searching among the nominees. Scott, have you ever heard of these people?
I have no idea what this is.
Who are they? Okay, so tell me about the Los Angeles Online Film Critics Society nominations this week.
I was shocked by these nominations.
Yeah,
I mean,
outraged.
I think our award ceremony is something that's very different from a lot of other award ceremonies.
Is Emily Blunt turning up?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
God.
Maybe we need them. If they want, I can't host the Oscars. I'll come and host that.
Yeah.
Leave them alone. He's very overwhelmed.
Okay, so it's Scott saying.
All right, sorry.
Dimitri has the giggles.
Yes, he does. He really does. You know, the goal of the creation of this organization was to showcase and highlight different and unique voices in film criticism, and I'm happy to report that we are one of the few critics groups that actually has an even split of men and women and a lot of diversity in our group. So when the nominations were revealed earlier this week, I was shocked because there was a lot of love for a lot of different films that I wasn't even expecting.
Yeah, I was quite surprised by the list, to be honest with you.
And, you know, I think it accurately represents what a lot of these other award shows is missing.
Mm.
Because this is a voice of 35 different critics who, you know, go out and they see movies on a regular basis, week after week. And to have a movie like Searching show up and Sorry to Bother You show up multiple times, you know, it shows that there's a bigger audience. And there's a huge Latino community and Asian community. And it's nice that these movies are represented in our awards.
And they're movies that shouldn't be forgotten. Searching is a damn fine film.
Searching's a real... I was stunned
really
at how
good
much I enjoyed
it. Yeah. I mean, so there are so many movies that come out in a given year. We talk about them throughout the year, but sometimes they will be forgotten if they came out in January.
Well, there's also, and we've discovered this before, that there it appears to be sometimes, especially certain weeks, there is an oversaturation of releases, and sometimes it can be a week where there are two, sometimes three really good movies that completely different levels of distribution, but all deserve to be seen and tell different stories and strike different tones or messages.
Absolutely.
And I think it's oversaturation. I think there is an element to these battle for the screens, which, going back to the Netflix thing, I think is sometimes actually good. It makes it more accessible when you would struggle to get screens in a lot of theatres around the US, simply by popularity and demand, etc., etc. But I think, I think it is nice to have that. I think it's really important.
Good movie.
Yeah, it's great.
And then you said The Hate U Give.
Yeah, I mean these are movies that are being
ignored. Was criminally overlooked at the box office. Criminally overlooked.
I agree.
And it's like a lot of people are just not going, not highlighting these films. Well, every list that, we just talked about it, it's just becoming repeats after repeats after repeats. So, I mean, I was proud as the founder of this organization to see so many films that are not anywhere else. Mm. And when the winners are announced later on today, that continues that tradition.
Mm-hmm. You should be proud. Good for you, Scott.
Yeah, thank you.
I think so.
You're still a racist, though.
Yes, I
am. Like Constance Wu.
Always.
Hey,
so what are you racing? What kind of car?
Okay, so...
Boo.
Slaughter race.
Boo. So we just...
Slaughter race.
So, yeah, I think, I think it's really good to have these alternative organizations out there that are pushing a lot of these films forward.
Did you hear about the Latino group that was announced
today?
Yeah.
I did not.
Latino Press.
So, Clayton Davis over at Award Circuit launched a... Latino Entertainment Journalist Association. So it's highlighting all the different journalists who are of Latino descent. And it's a first of its kind, mm-hmm. to my knowledge. And I think it's now is the time, and I'm glad that he did it.
Well, I think the diversification of the industry, I think, is invaluable and really important. I think what's really important as well is for outlets to pay the people that are contributing and pay them a decent amount of money so this doesn't become a hobby for some people, which I think is unfortunate. I think it does the industry down. One thing I do come across sometimes with the issue of diversity when it comes to writing and criticism and journalism in general is sometimes people say, we need more people from X group to cover X movies. And while I think that is important because it reflects a personal view, I think that's important. I think it kind of sets a slightly difficult and dangerous precedent where it's fact X people can only cover X movies. And I think we need to move away from that. It's important to have those voices, but I think it can also sometimes, if it's meant well but poorly considered, I think it's actually counterproductive.
Well, it's the same thing as saying so-and-so, only this person or that person can
direct a movie or write a movie. Yeah,
I want. I want this... I'm going to go on my soapbox for a second. I want...
Can I have it back? Because I'm really short.
Okay. I just want our industry to just fully embrace and come together as one.
Yeah.
And I know it's going to take a long time. But until that happens, I celebrate people like Miranda Bailey, who launched Cherry Picks. I respect Clayton Davis for doing this for the Latino community. But I cannot wait until we stop putting people in boxes and we just create an organization. And that was the whole goal of the one that I created, was to just bring everyone together and have one unique voice.
I think it's really important, and I absolutely push for more diversity. And we tried to do that on the show, and we're going to be embracing that more in the next year. And thank you, Scott.
That was one hell of a soapbox. That
I think it's great. And also
emotional there at the end.
But also thank you, Scott, for doing that. I know audiences will appreciate that, and certainly the members of the press who represent minority groups, I think, will appreciate that too. Okay, a couple of other things I need to touch on. We only have 20 minutes left on the show. Forbes this week. I don't know who wrote this.
Who's Forbes?
I don't know who wrote it. Brian Forbes. Mr. and Mrs. Forbes.
From Idaho.
Yeah, he's still waiting for Roma. For God's sake. Anyway, there was an interview with Chris McQuarrie this week. I don't know who did this. With regards to the home entertainment release of Mission Impossible Fallout with a ball out.
Is that the official title?
It is. Yes. That's
they renamed
for the home entertainment. So I was chatting to him. Ooh. Cat out of the bag, spoiler. And obviously, I was talking to him. We discussed a number of things, and you can find this article up on Forbes, including the fact that obviously he's the only director to return to the Mission Impossible franchise in two movies. Is he considering doing a trilogy? As Marvel have done with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and basically done fill-in stories and stories around the edge with characters and the galaxy, is he looking or considering doing that with Mission Impossible and doing filler stories exploring the universe of Ethan Hunt, exploring the MI universe and looking at characters around that? There's plenty of stories to tell there, so we cover that. But also, he appears to be something of a franchise whisperer for Paramount. When it comes to Mission Impossible, he's obviously given his magic touch to Top Gun 2. He did Jack Reacher. He then exec produced the second one, which, okay, didn't do phenomenally well.
That was a terrible film.
But he's got that relationship with Paramount. And there was another, it suddenly occurred to me that there's another franchise at Paramount, the Star Trek franchise, where it's kind of, you know, it's moribund. It's kind of floating slightly without a rudder or anything at the moment. And I asked him, you know, is that something that you would consider? And he is a massive Star Trek fan. You know, Wrath of Khan is like one of his favorite movies of all time. He grew up with Star Trek watching. He's a big fan. And he referred to it as if that door opens, he would look into it. So what are your thoughts on Chris McQuarrie, which is easy for you to say, Chris McQuarrie? So let's go to Dimitri, resident Star Trek fan.
Yeah,
your thoughts on Chris McQuarrie taking that on, either in a directorial role or some other capacity? What do you think?
I would rather go with him than Quentin Tarantino.
Okay.
I mean, right off the bat, I mean, if he's with his talents as a director and as a screenwriter, and this is something that he loves to do, I'm all in. Star Trek, especially after the last movie, needs a jolt in the arm. And I think its biggest detractor has been Paramount. Paramount, I don't know why, but ever since, like, they just don't know what to do with this, with the franchise. Mm. And I don't get it. J.J. Abrams' biggest problem is that Paramount and CBS and whatever, they didn't know what to do and how to market and so they're their biggest detractor. They need somebody to come in and take the reins who knows what they're talking about and knows how to direct. I mean, when you see what Christopher McQuarrie has done with Mission Impossible, could you imagine him doing something like that with Star Trek, where he actually understands the universe and the villains? Mm. I think it would be great, and he could get Chris Pine back, maybe.
I'd rather see him go back and do a third Mission Impossible movie, personally.
I would love him to do a Mission Impossible. I would really love to see him round out that that trilogy.
Why can't he do both? Like,
but he can't overwhelm himself, because then the quality declines, like Jack Reacher 2.
Here's a thought, as he's clearly got a very good relationship with Tom Cruise, and obviously they worked on The Mummy, terrible film, but they worked on that together.
And J.J. Abrams.
What about, you say the return of Chris Pine, what about transporting Tom Cruise to the Star Trek universe?
Well, I'm not opposed to it. I mean, not as
as Captain Kirk, but perhaps maybe as
he could
a
be an
villain
admiral
or a
Starfleet or something.
Yeah, something. Yeah. Would you? I mean, I would. I mean, I enjoyed all of the Star Trek movies. I know Beyond took a lot of shit, but I actually really enjoyed that movie. But I would love to see Tom Cruise doing Star Trek. I mean, the set pieces in those movies are great anyway, but if you add the Tom Cruise sparkle...
Sure.
Yeah. I mean...
I am
you went really high there.
That's amazing!
I'm not opposed.
Okay.
I'm really not opposed, and I think if anybody can write that ship, it would be somebody like a Christopher McQuarrie. Yes. You know, he would be fantastic.
It'd be very enterprising. Okay, moving on. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Dad jokes, not even a dad.
I'm so glad I came out to the Valley for
that. Okay, a lot of people got upset about this because women. Female-led 21 Jump Street spin-off eyeing Tiffany Haddish and Awkwafina to star.
I'd watch that. I'd watch that. I think they're both hilarious. I think Awkwafina's fantastic.
Yeah.
That ad she does on Google, where she says, "Can I see? Show me a healthy succulent." And they show, and she says, "No, that's Bud." I'm like, "That's funny."
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are going, "Oh my God, why are they rebooting this? Why are they rebooting this?" This is not a reboot. This is going to be a spin-off.
I'm not on board with this. Not because of women, but because I go on this soapbox too. Women deserve their own movies, and they deserve their own franchises. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going
to
say.
I think that's fair. I mean, to be honest with you, those pairing, I would genuinely enjoy. and I would like to see it. I think it's a little bit sort of early to retire the Channing Tatum Jonah Hill.
Why can't
pairing.
They just be in a cop buddy movie? Like, well, that franchise, reboot that genre.
Why not
and make it funny?
But why not put them all in the movie? Two guys and two women. Why not have them as two sets of cops within either rival departments, same department, you know, rival cities, going
different
from
district,
city to city?
Yeah.
Why not do that rather than go, well, you know, we're going to have, they're not going to be in it, and we're going to put the women.
I get what you're saying. I don't disagree, but look what Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy did with The Heat.
Great movie.
Yeah. Hysterical.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, great movie.
Was that part of a
That's
franchise?
That's what I'm saying. Original. Like original content, please.
Do The Heat. Do The Heat again. Do something original. Do The Heat again. Again.
And an Apocalypse too.
Yeah.
I'm just like, there are a lot of reboot announcements made last week, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
I know. I just stopped.
Talking of reboots, not really a reboot. It's more of a revival or a regurgitation or a summoning up of the terrible. I mean, I could literally hear Prince turning in his grave when this was announced this week. A Prince musical is in the works. His songs are going to be turned into a movie, but it won't be a biopic.
Well, it's going to be like a jukebox musical, like
Mamma Mia.
Across the Universe. Or Mamma Mia.
Across the Universe.
Yeah.
Rock of Ages?
Rock of Ages!
Rock of Ages, though, is the Broadway musical, so it's not one artist's music.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I think this is a horrible idea. I mean, I'm not going to dress it up. I mean, I love Prince, but his songs, they don't tell a narrative.
No.
I mean, okay, ABBA's don't either, but that kind of works. But Prince Red Corvette.
I think his songs tell a narrative, but
for short films.
Yeah. They're obviously doing this because of like Bohemian Rhapsody being so popular and things like that.
Well, but there's also
But again,
that was
different. Bohemian Rhapsody, sorry Neil, Bohemian Rhapsody is different because Bohemian Rhapsody is the legacy of a band and their lead singer. And those songs are on the timeline. Mm-hmm, the songs are not driving the story. And she went in to go, I hear a little silhouette of a man, Scaramouche, Scaramouche! You know, it's not...
Wow,
that's
that was
not
a little scary.
Happening. Thank you. That's different to, like, oh, hey, I kissed the teacher. If only there was a song for that. Yeah. Oh, here we go. Here we go again. Oh, it's got a song for that. Who have you fucked? Fernando. Oh, got a song for that. It's kind of like, it's different.
The only
what's the weather like, Prince? It's rain. What color? Purple rain.
That was already a movie.
The only retort I have that
remake that.
Come on, there's a joke.
Sign of the Times.
Yeah,
has a narrative to it.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a through line to that concert film.
Yep.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility that somebody looks at that and sees all the money out there to be made and says, you know what? If I can find, he has such an enormous amount of material.
Yeah.
That you're going to tell me somebody can't find 15, 20 songs? They did it for Billy Joel, for Christ's sakes.
People in the chat talking about this. Dad joke rating, 10 out of 10. Nailed that one. Nailed that one. Didn't even have to have any kids. Yes.
Yes.
So, Westy Kid, I'm not on board with gender swapping roles, not after the ridiculous Ghostbusters. Okay, we have differing opinions on that. I didn't think it was terrible. I know a lot of people hated it. Westy Kid wants that Prince movie.
Oh, yeah?
Zias B. Lou, ain't gonna love this up above. I wonder who they'll cast in the role. Prince would need a hard R rating. Scott Boswell, I would like to see something that's gritty in a musical, absolutely. Zeno Hour, Prince would have been pissed at this movie. I think
agree.
Pissed is an understatement.
Yes.
Westy Kid, they need to make biopics of all the best singers. No. Sky Patterson, Zeno Hour, I agree with you. And Zias B. Lou agreed, Scott. I mean, I just don't think... I think Prince is... It's like doing it with David Bowie.
Sure.
Or,
now you're talking.
Know, I mean, yeah, but that would be... Fuck. I mean, I love David Bowie. But if it was a biopic of David Bowie...
Bowie?
Sure. David Bowie. Bowie.
Bowie.
Bowie.
Bowie.
Bowie.
Bowie.
Bowie. Bowie. Bowie.
Bowie.
Bowie.
Bowie. Bowie. Then... it's not a bow tie.
Where's the little bow biopic?
Bowie. Bowie.
You're like what's his name? Benedict Cumberbatch not being able to pronounce penguins.
Oh, yeah, that penguins. Was great.
Penguins.
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 But, yeah, no, I just think if it was a biopic, I would absolutely support a David Bowie thing.
Sure.
Bowie. Bowie. But I don't know.
How about a movie featuring music from The Knack?
Okay, let's do a little quick thing because we need to get to a couple of Marvel trailers that came out this week and the week's big releases. A couple of news drops. Disney's Cruella de Vil eyes Craig Gillespie from I, Tonya to direct. Interesting. A lot of people got excited about Emma Stone as Cruella de Vil.
Oh, yeah.
That story came out months ago.
I know it did.
Months ago.
Almost like a year ago at this
and
point.
This is one of the things that annoys me about the industry, is there are so many people who are in this industry doing it as a fucking hobby that they can't...
They can't keep track of anything.
They can't keep track. Give people a break, but don't hire amateurs and pay people. The quality of the journalism counts, and if it matters, it's worth paying for. Crazy Rich Asians flopped in China this week.
No surprise.
Not entirely surprised. A lot of people were like, oh. Yeah. But when you sell a film that is predominantly an Asian cast in predominantly non-Asian areas, it is something new. When you take a predominantly Asian cast movie to Asia, it's not new.
Every day.
There you go. I mean, it's a breakthrough in this market.
Right. Hey, we're in Shanghai. Would you like some Chinese food? Yeah. Here they just call it food.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Tales from the Crypt reboot is as dead as the Crypt Keeper, according to M. Night Shyamalan. I'm disappointed.
Me too.
I like the Tales from the Crypt movies.
Yeah. I did too.
No, I think something to that. I think that could have worked. It could have worked.
I think it could have worked.
Just like Creepshow. I think bring Creepshow back.
Okay, a Men in Black International is the title of an upcoming Men in Black reboot. Found that out. I think that was Scott at Collider who actually broke that news this week. He was at in Sao Paulo at a convention there. I don't like that title. Not that Sony care.
No, I don't either.
No.
I think it's great.
So we know where they got that title.
Just being contrarian at this point.
And Resident Evil reboot to be directed by 47 Meters Down filmmaker Johannes Roberts.
Was it like a year ago? 2 years ago?
I'm so overwhelmed.
It was last year the final Resident Evil movie came out.
What the hell?
No.
It's actually called Resident
Evil.
I'm
excited about it.
What the hell?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, cool. So, guys, let's talk on to a couple of trailers that dropped. First of all, thank you very much to Disney and Marvel for dropping a trailer. Not at 10:11 when this show finishes. But actually this morning, which was fantastic.
At 4
so I woke
AM,
up
I
with everybody freaking out about the Avengers. Not obviously in my house. That would have been slightly weird.
The Avengers!
Let's talk about, first of all, Captain Marvel dropping earlier this week. I'll be really honest with you. I really like the look of this movie, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing it. I am not as in love with the trailer as some other people are.
Yes.
I think it's a good trailer. Yas, Queen. Why did you do yas? Yes. But no, seriously.
Because I agree with you.
It's a good trailer, but it didn't.
It doesn't have that hook.
No.
I watched it twice, and I was kind of like, okay.
See, but here, okay, two things. The last time I was here, I talked about the fact that I think trailers and the amount of energy we put into them is stupid.
Yes, it is.
It's unbelievably stupid.
And also secondly, the predicting. I've seen so many stories this week about, oh, trailer coming. Oh, have you got nothing better to do than write articles about a trailer's coming on? Is it Friday? Is it Saturday?
And then there's the frame-by-frame breakdown of the trailer.
Come on, guys.
But on top of that, the second thing is, with Captain Marvel, it doesn't matter what they show us because people are going to go. Aside from how it's a Marvel movie in March, just like last year with Black Panther at the end of February, it's Brie Larson, so it's a female-led movie.
Yep.
And it's 6 weeks before Avengers. It's the last chapter before the Endgame comes out. People are going to fly. I mean, it's going to break records, or it's going to come close to it. It's going to be insane. So it doesn't matter what the trailer is.
No, it's going to be phenomenally well. And I'll be honest with you, one plus side to the fact that the trailer didn't make me go, ooh, and blow me away with spectacle, even though it's really impressive and it certainly increases my want to see it, it doesn't spoil the movie.
That's exactly right.
And there's so many movies, and Mary Poppins, going back to that very briefly, is a really good example of this. There are so many things in the Mary Poppins trailer that makes everybody go, ooh, and ah. And when you see the final movie and they're in context, you've already seen a lot of the ooh, ah move moments, and it just kind of takes the shine off it a little bit.
If I could just very quickly jump in.
Sure.
On this topic, A perfect example is the Girl in the Spider's Web.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where the fantastic opening sequence in that apartment with that husband and wife. Yeah. And it's all in the trailer. So when the movie opens, you're like, I've seen this 17 times.
When we broke that movie down on Anatomy of a Movie, I specifically talked about that trailer. It not only gave away that, but gives away the movie.
It gives away the twist. Yeah.
It gives away the twist.
Well, it's like it's to your point about not giving away too much. Yeah. Captain Marvel is not giving any spoilers.
But the Mile 22 trailer was the whole fucking movie.
Oh my God, it was. Yeah. And that's all you ever need to see. That's all you'd ever need to see.
Still
do not support that 90
seconds
I didn't mind the Captain Marvel trailer. Yeah. I mean, it added to the teaser that was released some months ago. Mm-hmm. You get to see more of Brie Larson in as the hero.
It's never a bad thing because I love her.
Really like. Me too. She's amazing.
I didn't dislike the. I really actually enjoyed the trailer. I've been looking forward to this movie. I think it's going to be Marvel's Wonder Woman, so to speak. And I think it's going to be. It looks like a lot of fun. I love that it's in the 80s.
Yeah.
Not as 90s.
I thought this was it 90s?
It's the 90s. Scott Boswell, Captain Marvel trailer was meh. Zias Bilou loved the trailer. Now the fanboys can't hold their nut another month or so. True. Zero Preacher Neil, Zias Bilou, yeah, I agree with that trailer stuff too. Good to hear you agree. And obviously we encourage people to disagree because just because we say it doesn't mean that's what you've got to think. Sky Patterson, Craig Gillespie set to direct the live action adaptation of we know that. Film set in the 80s punk rock London. I like it, but Tilda Swinton's crew. Yes, I think they're going for a younger look. Westy Kid, Captain Marvel will be good. Samuel L. Jackson was a huge part of it. Yeah, yeah. So I think generally, you know, people are excited about it. But let's talk about. It was a brilliant. I woke up to an email this morning from Disney that was saying the Avengers trailer has dropped, and everyone's been wondering what's the subtitle going to be. And in the email, it said, "P.S. The title of the movie is revealed at the end." But then you go to the YouTube thing, and it says Avengers
right
Endgame. I'm like. Come on, people!
Spoiler alert!
Come on! So, yeah. Spoilers. So, anyway. So, obviously, that dropped this morning. We've all had a chance to watch it. What are your thoughts on the Avengers trailer?
I liked it. I mean, it doesn't give away too much. It kind of tells us what we need. I mean, all of us are going to go see it twice.
Yeah, true. You know. Well, certainly once.
At least once. But
certainly
I mean,
once.
I like the end with the Scott Lang thing. That was a nice touch.
Seriously, Paul Rudd as Ant-Man. He just makes my heart skip with joy.
I really like the two movies, but as far as the trailer goes, we talked about this a little bit at breakfast too. You missed a good conversation.
It was too busy.
It didn't focus on action.
Yeah.
It didn't show us any action. It just showed us these characters and this aftermath. Yeah. It was good to see Jeremy Renner back as Hawkeye.
Yeah.
It was good to see. So that aspect of the trailer, I was really surprised because I figure. They're definitely going to open up with action or something, but I liked how it played out.
As much as I enjoy the action and you know in these superhero movies, and I really do, it's impressive and it's just a marvel to watch. No pun intended, amazingly. But I do miss the drama. I do miss the story. And we were saying at breakfast this morning that I think that one of the reasons that movies like Civil War work and Winter Soldier work and why they constantly top people's thing is because they have the spectacle, they have the action, but they also have the drama and the emotion. Yeah. So two big trailers this week. Also, there was a trailer that dropped this week for Once Upon a Deadpool, but we don't have time for that. I do want to touch on a couple of the releases. Heading into theatre this week, not a massive weekend at the box office. It seems like Ralph is going to take the number one spot again. Ben is back, first of all. Which I saw by accident. I was meant to see Dumplin' and I got sent to the wrong screening. But I wanted to see Ben is Back, and I personally really enjoyed it. I think Julia Roberts is amazing
in this movie.
I think Lucas is absolutely amazing in
Very
this movie.
Good. I hated the ending.
But the trailer sells a movie that the movie is not. The trailer makes it look like a woman looking for her missing son. It makes it look like Taken. And this is not that movie.
At all.
The movie that you see, though, is absolutely worth watching.
And harrowing.
It is brilliantly done. Very harrowing.
Oh, my gosh.
Very harrowing. So you've both seen it, Neil and Scott.
Yes.
Scott, first of all, give me your thoughts on this.
I've been rooting for this movie since I saw Toronto. I think it's just a tour de force performance by Julia Roberts, like everyone's been saying.
Yep.
Peter Hedges, Lucas Hedges is just continues to be such a phenomenal actor. And there's just certain scenes in this movie, and I've watched this movie twice now, that you go back and you watch it again, and they kind of connect the dots a little earlier on in the film,
yeah.
And they make the movie even more powerful. This is one of the rare films that I watch a second time, and I actually think it's better the second time around.
Neil.
I like the movie a lot, and for most of the time, I'm sitting there thinking, this is really good. This is really good. I hated everything about the final 5-6 minutes of the movie.
Interesting.
Everything about it, I hated. I thought it was a cop-out. I thought that the way that everything kind of came about at the end, I'm speaking very vaguely, because
yeah,
I don't want to give anything away. But to me, the ending failed the movie. I'm not enough to not say that it's not a good movie, not enough to condemn the film, but... or to not recommend it, but to me, it was I was pissed at the ending. I walked out of the theater like, damn it, they didn't stick the landing.
I completely agree. The ending didn't exactly work for me. But I'll tell you what, though, Scott, if only the Los Angeles Online Film Critics Society had a show on the Popcorn Talk Network and Peter Hedges was on it one day, I think that would be a wonderful thing. What do you think?
I think that would be great. And it might just become a reality today.
What?
Yes, at 11 a.m. PST.
Here on the Popcorn Talk Network.
Here on the Popcorn Talk Network.
Are you
Network.
Interviewing Peter Hedges?
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Well, sound a little more exciting.
Who's your guy?
He's got a lot going on.
He's overwhelmed.
Also coming out this week, Vox Lux.
Which I really want to see.
Which also sounds like a brand of contraceptive.
Yes.
It sounds like condoms.
It's my new vacuum cleaner.
Ah, okay. Oh, Vox Lux.
Yes.
Gets in the corners.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I hear it sucks, though. Okay, so I have not seen this movie. I've heard great things.
I haven't seen
Natalie Portman.
It's a jarring film.
Right.
And it'll leave people on both sides of the fence. I mean, I can see people walking out of this movie and absolutely hating every moment of it. It does feel like two different films, so be prepared for that when you go into it. First half is very dark and full of like violence. Second half is more about the stardom and becoming a pop star and being privileged. Very bold film. Not for everyone, but I appreciated it from an artistic perspective.
So if you're going to see that, you need to check that out in the next couple of weeks, because I'm assuming obviously going to the holidays. It's not a holiday movie.
Gone.
If you're in New York, you can see it at Film Forum. It's going to be an extended.
And if you're here in LA, I do know for a fact they're doing a lot of Q&As, actually.
Yeah, Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman. They're doing one, I think, maybe the ArcLight tonight, and then tomorrow at AMC Century City.
Mm-hmm. And also, we've got to wrap up in just a second. We'll say who everybody is, and then we're going to sign off. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, cool.
Just have to say, something else that's happening in LA this week is the very first You're Going to Need a Bigger Boat film quiz, which is happening at the Three Clubs in Hollywood on Vine. It's a quiz that I played in the UK for a long time with my team over there. We're bringing it to LA. The launch event is Saturday night. It's 4:30 doors, 5 o'clock start, ends at 7:15, so you've still got plenty of time to do your holiday shopping and all your other shit. Come along, it is free. We would love to see you there. I am going to be co-hosting the launch event and then taking it on further forward. If we get enough support, we're going to make this a monthly thing, and we really appreciate it, and we would love to see you there. I know some people who are fans of Meet the Movie Press are going to be there. Dimitri, you're going to be there. Scott, you're going to be there.
Combined,
Neil hates us.
I will not be there because short notice, but next time I'm in town, I'll definitely be there.
Don't call me short notice. My name is Simon. That's really okay. So thank you so much, guys, for
Someone
another.
Someone doesn't like nicknames. What can I say?
I mean, sugar tits, I'll take, but short notice, I don't like that one.
Before we go, I would like to just say I have a podcast of my own.
Unduly
Noted is which you can get on iTunes. It's me and Ryan Beeman. We talk once a week. Same kind of stuff. I mean, if you like this, you like that, and it's just funnier.
And where can we? Well, that's
Get the hell out of the door.
So, Neil, where can we find you on Twitter?
Again, at Neil Turrets. And on Instagram, I do something called six-word reviews, where it's exactly what it sounds like.
I love that, by the way.
And number six-word reviews. Sorry, what'd you say?
Is it a review in six words?
That's exactly what... You know, I should describe it that way.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah forget
it's
what
snappy.
I said.
It's
I'll
snappy.
Use that instead.
Okay, Scott, who are you? Where can we find you?
I just want to just do a shout-out. Everyone, please tune in to LAOFCS Weekly today. Peter Hedges will be on, as Simon alluded to earlier. And then finally, we are going to be doing a LAOFCS winner announcement today as well. So please tune in.
And Dimitri.
Well, it's always a privilege to be have a seat at the table here at Meet the Movie Press on Popcorn Talk Network. Also, please tune into Popcorn Talk Network's Anatomy of a Movie when you want to take a deeper dive into the production of a movie. It's just more than an opinion show, where today I'll be part of the panel talking about The Green Book. Can't wait. Really one of my favorites. Movies of the year.
We only have a couple weeks left on the show for 2018, so if you love the show, make sure you tell people about it. We really appreciate it. You can like, you can subscribe on YouTube. We are on iTunes, and we're also on Spotify now as well, and Podcast One. So thank you so much. We appreciate the feedback. But always, keep it constructive and keep it civil. We really appreciate that. Thank you so much for watching the show. I am at Showbiz Simon on Instagram and Twitter. I'll be back next week with the guys. Don't forget, catch the movies. Thank you so much. You have a good one. Stay safe. And happy Hanukkah to all our
happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. Fans. Happy Hanukkah.
On behalf of all Jews, thanks, Simon.
You're the spokesman? How did I not know this?
Thanks for having me back, guys. This is fun.
Have a good night.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.